This ain't Guido's Pizza. Hey, can I get another Big Storm beer over here? With those gluten-free hot dogs? Damn it, Steve! It's so good, I'm gonna say it again.
Be a hero at your holiday party with Big Storm beer and spirits. BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you'll find all the Big Storm tap rooms and their fantastic menus. Big Storm Clearwater, what a great place to go and hang out, see live music, outdoors on their fully covered patio, or indoors in the tap room. Big Storm Brewery, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, and tap rooms in Odessa. BigStormBrewery.com. Get all the details, all the locations, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center, and Big Storm Beer is in the stores. Big Storm Brewery, wherever you find great craft beer, you will find Big Storm Beer. Try a Bromosa, the Wavemaker Amber Ale, so many greats. BigStormBrewery.com. Bucks fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back. Bengals week with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. $1,000, Ira, $1,000 Amazon gift card if you buy a new vehicle this year at Bill Curry Ford. I think it actually extends to January 3rd, but you can go to their website, BillCurryFord.com. A Tampa tradition, just about 63 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. All kinds of deals right now from GM Sean Sullivan, the host of the Best in Class podcast. He's going a little crazy there, Ira, going a little crazy. The JoeBucksFan.com draft guru on his podcast, but it's all out of love for the Bucks. And all those specials at Bill Curry Ford are all out of love for the community. BillCurryFord.com, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Check it all out. So much going on there now. BillCurryFord.com.
BillCurryFord.com. That's where you'll have the happiest of New Year's.
Ira, we got a game on Sunday, and there's a lot going on here in this crazy NFC South. We've talked about some of it. We got Lee back, fresh from the other Bay Area. Gosh, Ira, not a lot of energy coming out of one buck. Some things being said all over town. But first, how are you?
Let me supply a little enthusiasm, gentlemen. That's greatly needed at this time. Lee, I'm feeling very chipper. Yes, I am. Feeling very good about myself. And that's going to last about till the next time I look at the NFL standings. But I'm feeling very good. Tomorrow's my wife's birthday. We're going to a nice romantic Italian dinner. That's right, Lee. I'm forking it up with the credit card. I've invited Dr. Wink to join us for a drink. I might even pay for that drink, Lee. That's the kind of mood I'm in.
Papa John's?
Why am I in such a good mood? Why am I in such a good mood, gentlemen? Well, I made my wife smile. No, it's not what you're thinking, gentlemen. Get your minds out of the gutter. I made my wife smile today because we took a drive up the Crystal River, Lee, even further north than you live, Crystal River, and we went snorkeling with the manatees. Snorkeling with the manatees, 72 degrees water, Kaufman in a wetsuit, the sage in a wetsuit, extra large, it barely fit. It barely fit. Snug as a bug in a rug. I got in the water about 10:45 a.m., saw my first manatee at about 11 a.m. Lee, it popped out of the water and said, what the hell's wrong with Brady? I mean, you can't make this stuff up, Lee. Had a great time out there. The water wasn't too cold. The wetsuit helped. Had a nice little lunch. And I'm in a great mood. I don't care if the Bucks are 6-7. You can't destroy my mood right now, Lee. You can't. The only thing that's bothering me is the Giants just paid $350 million for a pretty good shortstop. Carlos Correa, what do they think? He's Derek Jeter? The guy's good. He ain't great. He's good.
So, Ira, where are you going for Italian? What is it? My first thought was Papa John's, but now that I think about it, maybe it's Little Caesars.
Well, now that you mention it, Steve, it's
2-for-1.
I'm not going to name the name of the place, but I'll save that for the next podcast. But Steve, it's in Palm Harbor. Not far from you. So if you want to drop by and have a drink with us, of course, you pay for your own drink. Don't expect anything out of my wallet because this dinner's going to be about 140 clams. This ain't Guido's Pizza. you know, on Spring Hill Boulevard, but I'm happy to do it. I'm feeling chipper, Stevie.
You've been burning up the tires on US 19, huh? Crystal River, Palm Harbor, same day?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's easy with my Ford Escape. Great vehicle, and enjoy driving it.
All right, Ira, look, Vita Vea, questionable for the weekend with the calf issue. He's not fully practicing. The injury report has gotten big in a hurry. Toe injury, Jamel Dean's in a boot. That's their best cornerback this year, as we know. Julio Jones back, not practicing with a knee issue. Now, he's played a lot of games, Ira, more than most, than I think both of you guys thought. So I'm going to give him that, but injured again. Joe Tryon's got a hip issue. We've got more names on there. What are your thoughts just as far as the availability of the Bucs?
I'll say this without trying to be crude, Lee. They could have Aaron Donald healthy 100%, and then I win in this game. This is a terrible matchup for the Bucs. The Bengals are, you know, with the exception of the Niners and few others, the Bengals are the hottest team in football. Burrow looks very good. The Buck defense all of a sudden doesn't look very good, Lee. I told Steve the other day, Lee, you were there. The most distressing thing about that game, other than the final score, was the one thing you could count on, the Buck defense to keep them hanging around, was ravaged. Ravaged in the first half. 28 points, 19 first downs, 290 yards. That is a disaster. And who's it against? Brock Purdy. I mean, at their best, the 49er offense isn't great, Lee. It's decent. It's pretty good. They rely on defense. But, boy, did they push the Bucs all over that field.
Yep.
Yeah, the Bucs are banged up, Lee. But even if they were healthy, I don't like their odds in this game.
The Bucs defense got manhandled in San Francisco. There was one play where McCaffrey ran. I don't know if it was off tackle, but it was close to off tackle. He had one of three wide open lanes to choose from. Not one, three. I couldn't believe it because I had my binoculars out. Like, holy smokes. That San Francisco offense just pummeled the Bucs defense.
Lee, I want to bring up something quick, and then, you know, I'm going to put Steve on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
Lee, in the previous podcast, while you were flying back from San Jose, I happened to mention, in passing, I mentioned, look out for Carolina. I mean, you can't dismiss them. They're playing well. They've won 3 of 4. They got a good running game. They play the Bucs January 1st. I don't care that the game's in Ray J. And I said to Steve in passing, I don't think the Bucs are a sure thing to win the division. He thought I was nuts. He thought I was crazy. Lee, am I crazy?
I wouldn't put a nickel on them making the playoffs. I will say on the record, the next 4 games, Bucs go 1-3. A couple months ago, I said if the Bucs come down to the final week of the season and they need to win against Atlanta, they will lose.
Whoa.
Now, who they're beating at one game, I don't know, but it won't be Cincinnati, and they're going to go 1-3. I don't know if that's going to knock them out of the playoffs, but that's the way I look at it. This team is bad, and it's getting worse.
Steve, they might beat Arizona. Arizona stinks. Kyler Murray's gone. I know they're playing at home, but they're bad. But, Steve, even that game, you know, the Bucs would probably be 2-point favorites. So, Steve, why am I crazy?
Because you're overreacting to the loss in San Francisco. That's why, Ira, you're overreacting. This team has been up and down all year long. They've still got lots of talent, and they've got less issues, in my opinion, than the other teams in the division. I'm not looking at the Bucs in the scope of the NFC and winning the Super Bowl. We're talking about the division. They are the best team in the division, and I stand by that. I think the defense will bounce back this week. I don't think they'll win on Sunday, but I think the defense will bounce back, and I think the offense will at least do something. And the other teams suck, so I'm going to take the Bucs with a one-game lead right now, and Carolina being 1-5 on the road this season, and I'm going to roll with that, Sage. How about that?
All right, and let me throw this out there, Lee, and tell me if you disagree. This is as strong as I can go. And I really mean this. They played 13 games. Since week 2, when they beat the Saints and picked off Winston 3 times and won in New Orleans, Lee, they've played 11 games. In my book, in my evaluation, They've played one good game in the last 11.
And they had to go overseas to do it.
And they had to go overseas to do it. Now, you might say the Atlanta game, well, yeah, through three quarters, they were dominant. Mm-hmm. Then they fell apart, and who knows what the hell would have happened except for that terrible call on Grady Jarrett. Bucks probably win, but we're not sure. So I'm not counting that as a good game, Lee. 11 games, Lee, they played one good game.
Could you say it's overreaction that the Bucks are a better team because of Tom Brady's magic? You take away that late last-minute magic of Tom Brady, this team's 4-9.
Steve doesn't even want to think about that one. There's no doubt about it.
As you spelled out, Ira, this team is not playing good. I mean, it's not a game here or there. It's a couple months. They're just not playing good. And I don't see them getting any better. I hate to say this, but I got to say what I see. I don't see someone snapping a finger and this team turning into the 2021 Bucks. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I don't see it either. That's what makes it so sad. But I don't see the Panthers, Falcons, or Saints snapping any fingers either, Ira. So that's where I'm at.
I'm just saying that you know, they're in a little bit of danger. I'm not, you know, they're still heavily favored, Lee, to win the division.
And that mostly percentages more than anything?
Yeah, it's percentages. Steve, you got to admit, you would like to avoid a one game take it or leave it against Carolina, even if it's home. The Bucks would have maybe 55% chance to win that game, maybe 60. But Steve, you don't want to roll the dice like that if you can help it.
No, you don't want to have any must-win games if you don't need to. So this game this weekend is critical on that front because you just don't want to set that up. But the Panthers have to win as well. So they've got their own challenges there with the Steelers. Yeah, not an easy...
And the Lions. The Lions could be tough.
Well, the Lions are better than the Panthers. Yeah. It's just that simple. They are better in the standings, in the, you know, they're just all around, they're a better team.
No question about it. Steve, I agree. To think that Carolina's going to close with a six-game winning streak, I mean, you know, what is Wilkes, a miracle worker? Lee, they got no offense. I mean, you know, McCaffrey's gone. They got Sam Darnold, for goodness sakes, Lee. Can they win six games in a row to end the season?
Hey, Sage, as we speak, lots of our Ira Kaufman listeners, they've got mold growing in their home or their business. Mold, it's disgusting. What should they do?
If you've got mold, you know what you've got to do.
All right, Ira. The answer is call Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Lots of storms have blown through. They're great for storm damage, all kinds of disasters, water, flood, fire. floridaselite-restoration.com. That is your number one source in the Tampa Bay area. When you have a disaster, call them 24/7. They will respond 24/7, give you a free assessment of what's happening in your property. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. Owner Josh Martin, he worked 14 years as an insurance adjuster, so he knows the game. He knows how to handle insurance claims, if that's what it takes, to make sure you don't get ripped off. There's a lot of details to it, and there's a lot of people out there in the business who don't care. Josh cares. Florida's Elite Restoration. When you call, mention the Ira Kaufman podcast or Joe Bucks fan. And if you need their services, you'll get $500 off. That's cash for your deductible or maybe just money off a repair that is nothing to do with insurance. Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Hey, Ira, look, this troubled me a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong. Lee, what do you think? Todd Bowles this week, he was asked about the run defense. Quote, "We were not in our gaps half the time." Now, that's discipline, and that's tuning out coaches. I mean, there's not a ton of new guys on the defense. And so he said, quote again, "We were not in our gaps half the time, and we had unblocked guys." That just smells like a defense that's starting to quit on Todd Bowles. Yep. What's your thought there, guys?
Very depressing, Lee. Lee, Joe Tryon's struggles in rushing defense is well documented on this podcast. And Lee, that, you know, I hate to beat this guy like a drum. I mean, there were a lot of missed tackles and bad angles, but Lee, the one that drove Sullivan up a wall was when Brock Purdy made a move and left Devin White, you know, halfway to San Francisco. Sean Sullivan can't believe that one. Devin White, Lee, I don't know. I mean, the guy seems to be going backwards right now.
His shtick is getting real thin. All this woofing before the game, and I'm not going to allow this team to lose another game. yet they hang 28 points on your rear end before halftime. And I know what play you're talking about, Dyer, and I was appalled. I was watching that. I was like, you got to be kidding me. In the parlance of today, Brock Purdy, of all people, an injured Brock Purdy, I might add. He's got an oblique injury or maybe a broken rib. He broke Devin White's ankles at the goal line. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was there. I watched it in person, and I wrote a story specifically about that play. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Steve, it's one thing if McCaffrey does that to you or Joe Mixon on Sunday, but Brock Purdy? Steve, you remember that play that we're talking about?
Yeah, of course I do. I don't know. One play, you know, anybody can juke anybody one time. I can't go crazy about it, but it does sort of underline the Bucs' issues.
Lee, anybody seen Akeem Hicks?
Well, you know, I don't think Akeem Hicks is brought in to rush the passer. He's brought in to eat up blocks, and I think he does that quite well. And, you know, if you want to argue that he's being overpaid just to do one thing, all right, I get that. But the linebackers are not the issue, and Akeem Hicks is keeping traffic off the linebackers for the most part. So I think he's doing his job, what he was brought in to do. It's not flashy. It's not sexy, but I think he's getting his job done. Yeah, he'd like more production, but, yeah. You know, again, they I don't think they brought him in for that.
I'd like to see a tackle for a loss, Steve, once in a while.
I'm over Akeem Hicks at this point. I'm sorry. He's sackless. They liked his pass rush over Sue. I just don't think he's done a good job. The run defense has gotten worse. It's a team effort. I'm not saying he's terrible, but he just hasn't gotten it done.
You know, Steve, you have a fair point you brought up that, you know, they weren't satisfied with Sue's pass rush up the middle. And from what I gather, that's one of the reasons, maybe the main reason, I don't know, but one of the reasons he's not here. And, well, Hicks isn't exactly a pass rusher either. So that's a very good point.
Sage, some other stuff this week. I mean, Bowles asked about Brady, and, you know, he says that age has nothing to do with Tom Brady's decline or his missed throws or anything like that. It's team effort. It's not age. Brady's Brady. And isn't that kind of Todd Bowles sort of burying himself? I felt like he was shoveling dirt on himself when he's telling us that Brady's the guy. No drop off whatsoever.
Come on, Steve. You're anything but naive. You're a lot of things, Isbits, but you're not naive. You've been around this game a long time. Lee, I liken this in hockey. You know, after a game, even if the team gives up 5 goals and they yank the goaltender in the second period, after the game, the coach never rips the goaltender. They don't do it, Lee. They don't do it. They say, we got to play better around them. I didn't take him out because he was playing bad. I took him out as a message to the team, that the team around them. They say that all the time, Lee, all the time. And they don't want to take a direct shot because they don't want to mess with the goalie's psyche, most important player on the team. I think this is the same exact thing. Brady's not playing well. He's not playing terrible. I'm not going there. I know Arians thought he was playing bad, you know, in October, but he's not playing well. They're averaging 17 points. How could he be playing well? So, of course, age is a factor at this point. Lee, how could it not be?
Well, I think the very last thing you got to worry about is Tom Brady's psyche. I sort of know where you're going, Ira, that Bowles was trying to deflect when he gave that answer, but I don't think he was deflecting to buoy Tom Brady's fragile psyche.
Bowles does, Lee, generally speaking, Bowles does not call out players. He does not. You know that.
Not by name. He'll say a position stunk, but he won't say by name. Well, now, you know, since I was out of San Francisco, you guys want to know, you know, what I see behind the scenes.
Right.
And here's something I didn't write up. Todd Bowles and I, we crossed paths. I was leaving the locker room. So was he. He was getting on the bus. His bus was one way. The tunnel where I get back to the press box was the other. And we crossed paths. I spoke very briefly with him.
Right.
Physically, he looks like a beaten man. He was so drained. He looked like a beaten man. I actually felt sorry for him. I really did. That's not to say I don't like him. I'm just, you know, he just looks so just zap. You know, people mock him for not having any energy. You should have seen him after the game when I saw him. He just looked like the weight of the world was on his shoulders. He's hunched over, no energy at all. Just looked awful.
Man. Can you blame him, Steve? Can you blame him?
Yes, I can blame him. He's a first-year head coach. Don't be wiped out in December. Come on now. you got the huge staff, you know, and I get right after the game that he's drained. He's in disbelief, but you know, you're still a leader of the team and you gotta have some juice to you. I mean, allegedly he's supposed to be ready to play in February, 2 months from now. So I'm not giving him a pass, Ira.
You know, Lee brings up a great point, and Lee, you got to expound on this.
Oh, hey, Sage, let me throw this out because I had to disagree a little bit. Donovan Smith, I think Bowles has called him out this past week or two. He hasn't said, you know what, the refs sometimes they go in your favor, sometimes they don't. He's a good left tackle. We're not hearing any of that. So I think he hasn't hesitated at all to call out Donovan Smith.
You're not wrong on that, Steve. He didn't rip him, but he did acknowledge his struggles. You're right, Steve. Lee, talk a little bit about this Bruce Arians angle, the Bruce Arians factor. I'll set you up. We all know for certain that in Bruce Arians' mindset, a top priority, if not the top priority, besides the Bucs winning the Super Bowl, is Byron Leftwich getting a job as a head coach. We all know that, Lee. So here's Arians, 13 games into the season, Lee, and he's watching, you know, Leftwich blow up his future. He may not even get Lee an interview in February or January. Nobody be shocked. Lee, what's going through Arians' mind right now, and should he be more active?
Well, I mean, I can't say Byron Leftwich will not get a head coaching interview. I mean, you don't know if there's opening at East Lake High School next week or not.
So
there is only one reason Byron Leftwich will get an interview for a head coaching job. And what I'm about to say might be very politically incorrect, might piss people off. I'm not trying to piss people off. I'm not trying to be politically incorrect. But the job he has done this year, the only way he gets an interview, it's a Rooney Rule deal. That's the only way.
What's going through Arians' mind?
I haven't spoken with Arians, but here's what I can say. The Glazer family, Team Glazer, they're kind of in a pickle. There's all sorts of moving parts to the near future of the Bucks. I don't think there's anybody that's sane that believes Byron Leftwich should return as offense coordinator. But one person, and that one person is Bruce Arians. Do you want to piss off Arians and alienate him, especially since he's under contract and he's helping out? I don't know. I get the sense that Todd Bowles is really distancing himself from Arians and the fact that they let Jalen Darden go. And Jalen Darden was Bruce Arians' pet. Oh, this guy's Emmanuel Sanders. Bowles cut him. So to me, that was a pretty big sign, at least for me, that Bowles is distancing himself from Arians. Like, you know, Bruce may be here, but this isn't Bruce's team anymore. I just thought that was pretty significant last week when they cut Darden. But, you know, do you piss off Arians and get rid of Leftwich? And if you get rid of Leftwich, would you go the next step and get rid of Bowles? I just cannot believe they would bring Leftwich back. I just can't believe it. So the Glazer family is kind of painted into a corner. One way or another, they're going to piss people off. I guess they got to decide what's the least repulsive.
Steve, I'll say this before you, and I'll set you up. Arians can stand on a table. He can throw things at Darcy Glazer. He can say whatever he wants, Steve, in defense of Byron Leftwich. You know and I know the Glazers have seen enough. And Leftwich won't be back next season.
Well, I'll say two things, Sage. One, the premise that Arians isn't involved, that's just pure speculation. We don't know. He already told you to your face, Ira, that he was on the phone with Leftwich talking to him daily earlier this season. So to think he's not involved, that's just guesswork. I would say he is involved, and it's not working. I'm also going to leave open the opportunity that Arians has changed his mind, at least internally, where, hey, you know what? I'm not looking to embarrass Byron, but he hasn't gotten the job done, and maybe he's not ready, which is okay. Like I said last podcast, he's 42 years old. We don't have to fast-track a guy if he's not up for it yet. The Glazers, I don't think they owe anybody anything. They don't owe Arians a damn thing. They're going to pay him what they pay him, and if they already did him his favor here, he stepped aside and everything transferred like he wanted to. If they're done with Bowles, then, you know, they'll blow it out and bring in the best coach they can find. If they want to keep Bowles, they'll blow out the offensive staff and say, hey, you work with Jason to find an offensive coordinator. Either that's a guy Brady wants or somebody totally different.
Steve, is there any scenario Leftwich is with the Bucs next season?
Let's say Leftwich was having a slightly better year this year and he left for a head coaching job. Bulls would still need to have to hire somebody. So, I mean, it's not like he should be lost without Byron. He should have some sort of plan. Hopefully they even talked to him about it. Or Light said, hey, I got this guy. I don't know. It's a mess, Ira. We've gone back and forth with this 100 times already. I still say losing record, first round loss in the playoffs. See you later, Todd. You've recorded a historic fail in the history of the Buccaneers, and we'll never forget you.
Lee, I just don't see any scenario for Leftwich to keep his job in Tampa. I
can see one, actually. I can see one. If you're going to tank and make a run for Caleb Williams.
Can you trust Leftwich with a young quarterback, Lee?
No. I didn't say that. I said if you're going to tank, you'd want to keep your rotten coach. I might be three steps ahead here, but I'll just lay this out there. Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles are combined 0-3 with quarterbacks drafted in the first two rounds. I like Todd, but I do not trust him with a young quarterback. And I sure as hell don't trust Byron Leftwich. I don't even trust him with Tom Brady. Forget a rookie quarterback.
Ira, I wouldn't trust him with the meatball sandwich you're going to have tomorrow.
Lee, I said something a couple of months ago, and it really took you back, Lee. It really took you back.
Uh-oh.
And I said I can see a scenario, not a likely one, where the Bucs wouldn't be that interested in bringing Brady back for 2023, even if he wanted to come back with the Bucs. And you thought that was nuts. You thought it was crazy.
I still do.
I think we're approaching that. If Brady doesn't have a good final month, Steve, and this team doesn't have a good final month, if they somehow finish 7-10, like Lee thinks might be likely, 7-10. Can you bring Brady back, or do you got to go get a young quarterback to build around? I mean, how many times can you kick the can down the road?
It really depends how he finishes. Nobody wants a 46-year-old quarterback who closed on a bad note. I mean, it doesn't matter who the owner is. So I would say, if he plays like crap down the stretch after having the worst season of his career, yeah, it's time to say goodbye.
Well, you also have to factor in how much Leftwich is screwing up things. That's a big factor. That's a major factor. And they would know that. Here's why I really don't believe, unless, like Steve said, Brady falls off the map this last month. Brady equals money. Brady equals notoriety. Notoriety equals more fans, more gear sold, more buzz. We all know that the Glazer family, they love buzz. They love, there was a better word that Doomy used to, splash. They love splash. And it's well known that the more chatter there is about a team, it generates interest, almost like a combustion engine. And unless Brady's really horrible, I can't see the Glazer family saying, we got to get rid of this guy. I really can't, because he's a good ambassador for the team. He's a smart guy, and he brings eyeballs, which equal dollar signs.
From a Jason-like perspective, Steve, he'd like to get younger. He doesn't want the oldest team in the league necessarily. It's not his preference, Steve, but if you got Brady, you do what you got to do.
And you got a chance.
I'm right there with Lee. If you got Tom Brady, starting in September, you bring in the veterans and you take your chances. And unfortunately, a lot of the veterans this year haven't worked out.
That's an understatement, Ira. That is no joke.
But Steve, at some point, you got to get younger. You got to get faster. It could be a chance maybe for the Blazers to slash payroll a little bit. A lot of things swimming around, Steve. I mean, we don't have easy off seasons here in Tampa. We did on the off season after the Super Bowl when they brought everybody back. Lee, there was a sense of normalcy. Gronkowski came back, Brady came back. Well, Lee, last year was crazy. I mean, March was crazy. It could be nuts. It could be nuts in January and February. Lee, could be.
Yeah.
Do you think we get an endorsement, Ira? Something from Light, something from the Glazers that says we're behind Todd Bowles and we're this, we're that. That's one question. And I guess a follow-up comment, I don't think it's very complicated. If you stink and you close out and you miss the playoffs, or you go 8-9 and tank it in the first round, you just blow it up. What are you holding on to?
They've never fired a coach after one year.
It doesn't matter, Ira. It doesn't matter what they've done before. It just doesn't matter. They've never had a coach lose with Tom Brady in the worst division in NFL history.
Well, as Lee suggests, could Jason Light make a case and say, you know, the offense stunk? You can't blame Bowles. The defense was pretty good. Can you manufacture a defense?
Yeah, and I got to give you credit. Ira, you're the one who dug it up. Why don't you enlighten your listeners what you dug up?
Damn it, Steve. It's so good. I'm going to say it again. It's been, by scoring a grand total of 7 points, garbage touchdown in garbage time against the Niners, despite scoring that touchdown, their points per game has now dropped, Lee, to 17.2. And I was going through past Buck seasons, and lo and behold, and I had to check it twice, Lee, because I just couldn't believe it. I came to 2014, the infamous Lovie Smith, 2-14, Josh McCown, Mike Glennon, tanking, you know, for Jameis.
Yeah.
And that team, on a per-game basis, is scoring more points than Tom Brady's Buccaneers. You can't explain that, Lee. You can't make that up.
A team trying to tank with a pathetic offensive coordinator who, if I recall correctly, at the time was never an offensive coordinator at any level of football before.
Steve, you can't make that up. 2014, you just can't.
I get it. I mean, I don't think you can let Bowles off the hook, especially with he's got Bruce Arians as a consultant. He's supposed to be able to lean on Bruce. It hasn't helped him. I mean, you've got a babysitter in there for Bowles, for lack of a better term. Hasn't worked. He's got an experienced staff. He's failed across the board. If you think Leftwich sucks, then you get rid of him. You're the head coach. You come out, you hold a press conference, and you say goodbye, Byron. And if the Glazers don't like it, you can fire me because I'm not continuing with this guy. I mean, you know, have some balls. I mean, you got a 5-year contract. You've got guaranteed money. I'm sure there's nothing in his contract that says he's not allowed to fire an assistant coach. I mean, I will not let him off the hook because Leftwich is not playing very well. You've got a consultant. You've got Tom Moore. You've got Tom Brady. It's yours, Todd.
Fair point, Steve. You know, everybody is, you know, smudged right now. Obviously, Bowles. Lee Arians doesn't look very good. It don't look very good. The succession plan has been a colossal failure. I'm looking at Jason Light. You know, all right. So he made a few mistakes in free agency. His draft wasn't particularly, you know, they didn't contribute very much as rookies. Logan Hall. I mean, you know, what have they got? Gedeke.
Who?
But Jason Light's done some good stuff. He's done some good stuff over, you know, over the last 5 years. And I think he skates. I think he skates. He didn't hire Todd Bowles, Lee. Let's remember that. He didn't hire him, and he didn't say, let's keep Byron Leftwich. So in the grand scheme of things, I think Light's safer than the rest of them.
Yeah, it's not Light's fault they lost to Cleveland coming out of a bye week. It's not. I mean, you could go down the list, the things that aren't Light's fault and the way they've used certain guys, and Light's not calling the Chris Godwin wide receiver screen over and over and over and over again. I mean, Light hasn't had a perfect offseason, but they shouldn't be 6-7. We should be talking right now about whether the Bucs are going to rest everybody in the final 2 weeks or if, you know, in the final week for sure, and if they're going to start game planning for Dallas in advance and give Tom Brady's brain an extra 2 or 3 weeks to wrap his head around other teams' defenses and all this stuff, but we're not. So that's just the way it is. Ira, do you think they at this point there's any chance that they bring in a consultant to try to spice something up here a little bit? Somebody comes in from the outside, maybe a friend of Brady. I don't know who that could be. Maybe it's Dante Scarnecchia gets the call from Tom and says, could you come in for a couple of weeks and jack up my line a little bit? Do you think they do anything like that?
No, I don't think that's their habit. I don't think that's their character. They got Arian sitting there, Lee. I mean, from an offensive perspective, you got to think the guy can help a little bit. Give him free rein. Get him more involved. Tell him, don't worry about stepping on Leftwich's
footsteps. Don't worry about that stuff. We want your input. I get Arians more involved. I know Steve thinks he is involved. I want him more involved. Lee, from an offensive standpoint, the guy knows how to create mismatches. Let's get him on board.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea how much he's involved he is. If he is, I have no idea. Here's one for you, Ira. It's probably undoable. It's too late, I think. However, Bowles was asked in his press conference after the game about coaching changes, and he said it's way too late for that kind of a drastic move.
Right.
Well, later that night, a reader of Joe Buck's fan, he's a loyal reader, he Twittered Steve and I, and he's like, do your research on 2012 Baltimore. And I did. And Scam Cameron was the then offense coordinator of the Crows. On December 12th, John Harbaugh canned him and hired Jim Caldwell as an offensive coordinator. Caldwell just today, as he told the 33rd team, yeah, I want to get back into coaching. When Caldwell was head coach with the Colts and he got him to a Super Bowl, his offensive coordinator was Clyde Christensen, Bucks quarterback coach. His senior offensive assistant was a guy by the name of Tom Moore, who's with the Bucks. So it's not like Caldwell would be a complete stranger. And again, that was December 10th or 12th. It was early December. And in that year, Baltimore, after they got rid of Scam Cameron, they won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, I'm at the point, Steve, that to me, all bets are off. I don't have a problem with bringing in anybody and hurting anybody's feelings. Forget that, Steve. You're right there with me. You're staring at 6-8. The wheels are coming off. You can't score any touchdowns. Who wrote that first half offense story, Steve? Was that you or Lee? I don't remember.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, 7 points. I think it's 7.2 points in the first half of games, which is just ridiculous. I think if you look at what Baker Mayfield pulled off this past week, I think that looks terrible for the Bucks. This guy walks in off the street against a Raiders team that's at least okay and has some talent and isn't tanking, and comes in and wings the ball around the field. I mean, what does that say about the Bucks?
They need a jolt. They need juice right now. They're dead.
I have to look it up, but 7.5. Freeman and Raheem Morris did better than that, didn't they?
Everybody did better than that. So. Everybody does better than that. It's just crazy town, Ira.
It's just irresponsible.
Are you calling for Blaine Gabbert, Ira?
Am I calling for him? No, absolutely not.
All right, I'm just teasing you, Ira. I'm just teasing you, but you should be calling Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. Amazing year-end offers, as always. $1,000 Amazon gift card to go shopping from Sean Sullivan, as he says on his podcast. Buy a new vehicle, you get a gift card. They've still got the no deposit and the concierge service ordering. It's all at BillCurryFord.com. Before we get to the game picks, Ira, is there anything else, Lee, you want to touch on?
No, not really, outside of 49ers have very, very nice facilities, very nice area. It's in the heart of Silicon Valley. One of their neighbors is Oracle. Oracle may be a mile down the road, Oracle's campus. What I was surprised about going to a 49ers game, very impressive tailgate scene. You know, the smoke was all over the air. You could smell all the cooking. It sort of reminded me of Pittsburgh in Green Bay.
Were those gluten-free hot dogs, DeKemper, in that area of the country?
I don't know. I'm not a gluten. I guess I'm a gluten guy. To the best of my knowledge, I never had anything gluten-free. I may have. I don't know.
Steve, I want to clarify one thing because I think I keep getting misinterpreted by some Buck fans.
Uh-oh.
Because even when I said that stat the other day about, you know, Lovie Smith's team, I said, with Brady taking every snap, they're averaging 17.2. People took that to think that I'm blaming Brady solely for their offensive woes. I'm not. Lee, what I am doing is saying he's not above criticism, and he shouldn't be. He's not playing particularly well. He's certainly not playing up to Brady's standards. And, Lee, we hold him to a high standard. Of course we do. He's Tom Brady. So while I don't necessarily agree that he was playing bad during that October spell, he wasn't playing well. And Lee, he did not play well against the 49ers. He did not.
No, he didn't. But you know what? All the people wringing their hands, Brady's playing poor, should we start Kyle Trask, and all this nonsense. He's still top five in the NFL in passing, and he still leads the NFC conference in passing. Give me that rotten quarterback any day of the week.
Yes,
he's throwing 44 times a game, Lee. 44.
I don't care. I'm a Mike Leach kind of guy. If it's working, don't fix it.
I know, Lee, but right now, it ain't working. It ain't working.
The passing's working. Everything else isn't.
All right, Sage. You and I picked the 49ers last week. Lee was going for the upset. So we've got a one-game lead on Lee. And we've already sort of stated where we stand on this game. I think it's pretty obvious. But I'll go first, Ira, because I think it's going to be close. I think there's a lot of overreaction to what the Bucs put out there on a short week and against a great team, right? At least a defense that was great and some messy stuff from the Bucs. I think they'll rebound defensively. And the Bengals' defense is not so great. But I don't think the Bucs can hang if they have to punch counterpunch in this kind of game. They haven't proven they can do it. So I'm going to say Bengals 24, Bucks 16.
This is going to be a blowout. I actually think the Bengals defense is pretty decent. Underrated, actually. You can make an argument Burrow's the best quarterback going right now. You really could. And that's no disrespect at all to Mahomes. No disrespect at all to Josh Allen. But Burrow is that damn good. If he was in just about any other market, in Cincinnati, it'd be like Joe Namath. I think this is just going to be a debacle of the highest order. I'm looking at 42-10 Bengals.
All right, I'm going to go in between you guys. Of course, I am picking the visiting Bengals. Steve, I got a 27-16. Defense hangs around a little bit. But ultimately, as Lee said, Burrow's too good. He's just too good. Chase is too good. They run the ball well. Defense is decent. Brooks called it a tall order for the Bucks to go out and beat the Niners. This is an equally tall order. I don't care if the game's at home. Stevie, 27-16, visitors.
Hey, Ira, I just thought of a question. What did you think of on the first possession of the Bucks against the 49ers? They tried to kick a 55-yard field goal.
Well, I guess you're thinking they should have went for it. It was long yardage on fourth down. It wasn't fourth and one. Suck up's been very good, Lee, but 55, I think it's a little beyond his range. I don't think it was that realistic. But, Lee, ultimately, and you know this, it had no factor in the game. It didn't. They weren't going to win that game, Lee, once it started. You never thought they were going to win. It was a strange decision, but suck up's been a bright light in a very dark season.
If I recall, Steve, didn't you look up the research and he's never hit one from that 55 yards? Is never, that's beyond his distance?
Yeah, Sage, in 14 years, Ryan Suckup's never hit a 55-yarder or more or longer in his career. So you had that. You had Tom Brady at 4th and 10 with a stable of top receivers, and it wasn't wet yet. And obviously you didn't want to punt. So, I mean, you chose a kicker pulling off essentially on paper is a miracle, or Tom Brady on 4th and 10. And again, he took the ball out of Brady's hands. Bowles finally addressed this on his radio show and said, well, it was probably a couple yards beyond Suckup's range, but we thought we had a better chance on 4th and 10 going that way. And that's what we did. We wanted points. I don't know. It just smelled awful at that time of the game, Ira, like you said, ultimately insignificant, but maybe from the standpoint of confidence, Maybe it's not. I don't know. I wonder what the players thought of that.
I don't necessarily know if they should have gone for it on 4th and 10. Yeah, I'm not. I believe in being aggressive, but I'm not Brandon Staley either, and I'm not nuts about it. But expecting a 30-some-year-old field goal kicker to get his career best on a windy day in San Francisco or in Santa Clara, that just on first possession, that really smacked to me of desperation, if not panic.
I understand, Lee. Obviously, Steve, obviously Suckup told Bowles that he could make it, that he was confident he could make it. But you have the numbers, Steve. He has never done it.
fourth and 10, Steve, you figure you got what? Maybe a 20% chance of making it. And you lost 7 yards in the process, right, Steve? By
sure.
missing the field goal.
Sure.
So, you know, in retrospect, strange, but ultimately not decisive.
Absolutely, Ira. And so I got to ask you one more, Ira, as long as we're here, since you're, we got to outfit you with a Panthers jersey, it seems.
Uh-oh.
The Panthers hosting the Steelers. Good chance it's Mitch Trubisky. 1 o'clock game in Carolina. And I think it's very interesting that it is a 1 o'clock game because that result will happen before the Bucs kick off. Your pick, yes. Panthers, Steelers.
I think the Panthers will guarantee Mike Tomlin's first losing season. Lee, I don't care that they beat the Bucs. That's a bad football team, Lee. You know it. I know it. They don't have any weapons. Bad quarterback. Defense isn't what it used to be. Playing out the string. The game's in Charlotte, I believe. The Panthers are going to win that game.
Right.
Steve, I think the Lions game the following week, I think that's going to be a tough one for Carolina.
Oh, that's brutal. Brutal. One game at a time. All right, Ira, look, we have all predicted Tom Brady to have his first eight-loss season in NFL history. These are somber, sad times. Send us out with something upbeat, Ira, something. Even if it's, what are you going to order at this Italian restaurant? How much do you eat in front of your wife?
I eat it all, Steve. I eat it all. Appetizer, salad, main course, dessert, maybe a little creme brulee to top things off. Stevie, she gets a Merlot. I get a, you know, a Riesling. It's going to be a hell of a meal. I think I might go for the duck. A little duck over there, Lee. Little duck.
Carvel on the way home?
No, I prefer, what's the name of that, burger place, Lee, that's got custard and stuff?
Culver's Drive. Culver's Drive Through.
Wisconsin.
Culver's.
Oh, Culver's. Yeah. Culver's. Yeah, yeah. Little Culver's about 9 p.m. Little Culver's.